Hi, Greg. I got a scam text yesterday claiming they were from the tax office. Right, be careful of those scam texts, especially this time of year, because they do time it as to... I hope I don't sound preachy when I talk like this, by the way. I am actually only trying to be helpful and get the information out there. But the point I'm trying to make is that they know what they're at, right? So they'll target it for certain times. So they know potentially that there might be some messages, legitimate messages coming out from the tax office, as I say, at this time of year. We're more than happy to get those out there, by the way. So 086 60 25 000 if you wish to pass any of that info on, and we can get it out to listeners as well. Recrime, no point, says a listener, having a God of presence while the courts are slapping wrists. We only have to look back and see people are avoiding jail. Another, Greg, I work in a shop and a young lad who we've reported a million times most definitely steals to order. We're not allowed to stop or touch him, only use the CCTV to prove what he's taken. As a result, he comes in maybe three times a day and helps himself. I don't know how businesses are surviving this volume of loss. Caroline or Shannon there, do you remember we did the piece with about insurance costs, about how businesses are letting people steal stuff because of the litigation against them? Could you dig out that press release again, just to, because it's quite timely now that it's coming up that businesses are being sued left, right and centre by people on this matter. Rosina Toner is with us now. Hi, Rosina. Lovely to see you. How are you keeping?
Great, thank you.
All right. Now, you are using your voice to highlight the importance of donating blood, the importance of it, and you can speak of your own experience and the importance it was, how important it was for you.
Yeah, so when I was diagnosed with cancer, I didn't realise that cancer patients needed so much blood. And I kind of think that it was car crash victims and people in those tragedies. So when they started giving me the blood and I needed so much of it, it really was an eye-opener. So now I really kind of want to put out there that donating blood is really important, and there's so many people need it. And cancer patients, some of us need quite a lot of it.
Rosina, I think your phone is, as it's resting, is sitting on its microphone, and I want to hear every word that you have to say because it's so important. So it just might...
While echo?
Yeah, no, we're good now. We're good. We'll focus on the audio of it because that's what's important. Yeah, you're quite right. We associate with blood donations or the need for blood with many things, but not, you know, pregnancy for that matter or for cancer patients.
Yes. Yeah, so that was another one too. I did know that sometimes after childbirth, blood was needed, but I really had no idea about the cancer. And then when I had my chemotherapy, so when you have chemotherapy, it affects your blood count regardless of what cancer you have. And some people then need
transfusion.
Transfusion, yes. We need a blood transfusion to up that again. So because I had a blood cancer, it really affected my blood. The chemotherapy was quite intense, so I needed a lot of blood. I can't even count how many bags of blood. And then I also needed platelets, which is a component of the blood, which clots, which helps us to clot after if we bleed or anything. So between blood and platelets... And then when I needed the stem cell transplant, that was also a component of the blood. So there was a lot I needed from people. And donating blood, if they hadn't donated the blood, regardless of the chemotherapy, I wouldn't have survived.
Yeah. And, you know, Rosina, people are always being asked to donate, and that's fine. And I'm on about sort of donate money or goods or what have you. And not everyone has the resources to, but thankfully most people can donate blood. And what a gift it is. I mean, the way you've outlined it there, those that are good enough to give blood effectively have given you the gift of life.
Absolutely. And since I've got better, two of my sons now donate blood. And they just enjoy that when they get the text to say where their blood went. And it's a really nice thing to get. So, you know, like somewhere in the country, your blood has helped someone out of a situation of some description. So it's really important that way. Like they are both now, they're 21 and 23. So they were young when I got sick. So these are just our ways of giving back. I can't donate blood. They can.
You've had a busy 25, haven't you? Thanks to the brilliant medical professionals, science, and the generosity of people with their blood and the stem cells and what have you. You've busy 25. You've been up to a few bits and bobs.
Yeah, do you know what? When I was sick, you kind of pray you're going to get better. Then when you get better, you do spend a while thinking, oh my God, that just happened to me. And you do be a bit nervous. This year, I think I finally just got my head back together and all, and started to do the things I've wanted to do. So like climbing Ben Bulbin, it's one of them things. Every time you head out of Donegal towards Sligo, it's sitting up there on your left and you're like, I'd really love to see what the top of that's like.
And what was it like?
It was beautiful.
Good.
So it was amazing. It was a lovely climb. I went and joined a group on Facebook who do hiking. So I went to Sligo one morning, met up with this group and climbed this mountain. It was fantastic. And it was just so nice to do it with these people who are really interested in doing it, instead of begging one of my kids to come with me who really didn't want to be.
I think we can all relate to that. And you know what? There's a really active hiking, climbing, walking community in Donegal, mm-hmm. and they do fantastic stuff every weekend. And a great community. Did a bit of sailing as well?
I did. I went to Rathlin Island, so that was lovely. And something I've always wanted to do as well is go to Rathlin Island to see the puffins. So I did that. My oldest son, he lives in Perth now. So he's been there 2.5 years. So I went to Perth for 3 weeks and we went to Sydney and we went camper vanning up the west coast of Australia to Kalbarri. So it was lovely just to see where he lives, what he does, what his life's like now. So that was just been a lovely 2025, thank God.
And it's all down to, I think, your fighting spirit is a big factor in all of this, but also to what we started the conversation was, is that gift that people can give. You have spare stuff in your body, right, that you can give to the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. You get a text when it's given to another person. So it's not notional, it's real. You can get all the information from the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. And Rosina, you're living proof of the importance of that.
And I've just noticed on their Facebook page recently, there's been maybe 2 or 3 different posts put up about how critically low the blood levels are. So if you are in the position to give blood, please do that, because it means so much to somebody else, and it means so much to somebody else's family. It really, and you do get to know where your blood went, which it gives you a nice feeling to know that your blood went such in a place and it's helped someone out of a situation. The bone marrow registry, that is another one, that if you're between the ages of 18 and 45, you stay on the registry till you're 55, and you have to be willing to donate to anyone from anywhere in the world. And that is another fantastic thing to do, because my siblings, none of them were a match. So I had to get a donor. So a stranger donated blood or stem cells. Then I relapsed. So that stranger came back and donated a second time.
Wow.
Now, the relapse is something that doesn't happen very often, but they came back and donated a second time. Unfortunately, the laws we have, I don't know who that person is. They don't know who I am. But in this house, we think of that person a lot, and we are all very grateful to that person for giving that, because that really meant a lot. Like, that was kind of the final thing that really helped us out of the situation we were in.
All right, listen, and I mean this tongue-in-cheek, but with them not climbing Bell Baldwin with you and their bone marrow being no use to you, the family... it's a good job they're good at emotional support, right?
And they're very good at emotional support.
I'm only joking. Listen, God bless you, Rosina, and keep up your great advocacy work, and we'll talk about that separately. I just wanted to keep the focus on you and your the importance of donating. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Take care of yourself. Rosina Toner there, talking of the importance of donating blood. Right, fantastic. She went to see ABBA too, Mamma Mia. What a fantastic gift of life donating blood is. A caller says, the last 4 years, they have said there was going to spend money for the Castlefin to Lifford Greenway. 6 miles of it at a cost of millions. Last year, it started up above my house and it's taken months of ripping up footpaths. Now the entire road was ripped up again this week and fully retarred. Someone explain this logic. Rising rates for 5%, yet waste is plentiful. Greg, there are businesses going to the wall every day, owing millions to companies for supplies and millions to banks, receivers appointed, and not two will be paid. Not 2 cents, I presume that is. Not a word about it. Enoch Burke in prison for his beliefs. This world's gone mad. Another, I hope you don't think I was serious when I suggested giving the council 20 or 30% of an increase. They should be, they accuse them then of not being very responsible with the public's money in a way I can't say. Or I'll be off air completely. Hi, Greg. The government is making a lot of money on the VAT at 23%. Families who want to buy a washing or drying machine from electric stores pay the high VAT on the price, then pay €40 for the product to travel from Dublin warehouse to their home, as the electricity stores don't have a local warehouse to store them. It's robbery. Depends on the size of your local supplier, but I do get your wider point there. I'm from Northern Ireland. I was over the border in the B&Q in Letterkenny and they do not accept sterling notes. This has come up before a couple of years ago. The reason was that the head office can't bank them. I think that's a big loss to a company if they're refusing money. No matter the currency, some people will just walk out and leave their items if their currency is not accepted. The do you know when cash was primarily the source of spending power, and whether you cash is king and all that, right? The truth is the majority of people are tapping or using the cards now, and we get fewer and fewer of these calls. I remember a couple of years back, I can't remember the exact store, but it certainly was a store that has stores on the north and south of the border, and they didn't take sterling, and it was a big hoo-ha. Lots of people were messaging in, but I just wonder if we're getting fewer of these messages now. It's not that the show isn't as busy as it always was. We're flat out, which is great. But I just wonder if it's less of an issue now because people are actually, whether they want to, in some cases happy to, in other cases screaming, kicking and crying into the use of tapping of their phones and cards, because the acceptance of sterling or the acceptance of euro in either direction, it's just not the story it seems to have once been. But let us know, maybe it is. 086 60 25,000. Don't forget to give us a call if you wish. 086 60 25,000. Sorry, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or you can call at 074 91 25,000. Now, Mary Herlihy is manager of the Donegal Women's Centre. Hello, Mary.
I'm good, Greg. And yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Now, the Donegal Women's Centre is launching the Haven Building for Healing, Support and Empowerment. Talk to us about this new special space.
Yeah. So, Greg, we've had the space, I suppose, for a number of years. And from talking to the women, we didn't have a name on the building. And then we just sat around the table with some of our service users and got their feedback on what the building meant to them and what they have gotten from coming into the building, whether it is to come in for a program, whether it's part of our counselling service, or just coming in for meetings. So it was the feedback from the women that led us to the name of the Haven, because they said they felt very safe coming in. For one woman, she said she wouldn't be here only for coming in to meet her counsellor on a weekly basis. So it was that whole concept of feeling safe, feeling empowered, there was a place of support, they could be who they wanted to be. And that was right across all the groups that we met with and that we worked with. And that's where the Haven came from. It is that sanctuary, that safe space for women to come in and just be. So that's how it all started.
Right. So in terms of what's new, is it the naming of this space and as I suppose, reigniting the conversation that's new, or are the services, any services new as part of this, Mary?
Yeah, so it is a continuation of what we're doing. And the new piece would be we have a domestic abuse therapy group, and they have met there over the last few months to create an exhibition that is actually across in the Regional Cultural Centre at the moment as part of our 16 Days of Action. So so the women created the space, or, sorry, created each of their pieces to reflect their journey with domestic abuse. So that's the latest programme. And then obviously their pieces are on show over in the Regional Cultural Centre up until the 20th of December. So they were the latest to come in. We also have the IPAS group, and they were really influential because, you know, they were coming to us every week, and it was about, what it meant to them, what they were getting out of it. So there's a little bit of new coming in, and there's a little bit of what has been there for a while. So it's a good combination.
In one form or other, the Donegal Women's Centre has been there for women for 40-odd years now, well, not far off it. And I can only imagine, you know, the amount of people that have been helped, whether, you know, they had come through a traumatic experience, depression, dealing with domestic abuse. It must be very rewarding to see the journey of the person that works up the courage, if that's what's required to come through that door, but to see them rebuild themselves or even become a better version of themselves through the process.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. That's what we have witnessed, and we've been very privileged to witness it over 40 years, is that journey when a woman comes in first. And we are always very thankful, I suppose, when a woman does come in the door, because it takes a lot of courage, you know, to call into the centre, to pick up the phone, to come in and put their trust in us for whatever reason that they're there with us. And then, you know, when, especially with the programmes, when you hear back what it means to them to be here on a weekly basis or here for an 8-week programme, and you get those personal stories. And just recently we did a piece of work with some women, and one woman described it as coming into her mother's embrace. She was here from a different country, but that she felt it was coming in and getting that supportiveness on a weekly basis. For others coming in through our counselling and psychotherapy service, it is that empowerment and that coming in one place and finding the resources and the tools and being given that space to work with their counsellor on their journey of whatever life has thrown at them, and for them to leave in a very different space with a very different way of thinking and feeling heard. That's the biggest one.
I mean, because, you know what you're trying to undo in some cases is potentially decades of a person being chipped down, broken down, to be left feeling like they are irrelevant, nothing, and then it's amazing that this space is there for them to be told, no, that's not the case. You know, you are not that person.
It.
Yeah.
Do
people? Yeah. How do people come in contact with the services, Mary?
Yeah. So there's a number of different ways. They can obviously follow us on all of our social media platforms, and we'll be launching our new website early in January 2026. So there'll be a lot of information on that. It really is either calling in, you know, coming in the front door and just finding out what we do. It could be giving us a call and saying, look, I really don't know what the Women's Centre does. I'm not sure if it's the right place. What do you do? You can get a family member or a friend to ring if you're not quite able to make that call, or we take referrals from professional people as well. So you can ring with a curiosity, you know, as if you're just not sure whether we're the place or not, or you're not sure if we're the right people to help.
And just on that, because I want to reach everyone that potentially we could reach. You know, the way I've asked questions, it could be, say, for instance, focusing on domestic violence, for an example, and it's only one example, you know, that you have just got out of an abusive relationship, right? I presume too, you can still attend if you feel you are in one, and does that make sense? And there are other examples, you know, am I depressed? You know, people cope with anxiety and depression and they think that's normal, right? That's what happens. We all do it to some extent. And sometimes you need to go out and tease it out and say, well, is this normal?
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do, really get those messages out through our social media and with our website. But absolutely, for right now, if something doesn't feel right, if they're and they're not sure, you know, and they have gone maybe elsewhere, or they haven't even asked anybody else, we have a listening service here. And very often that can be the first port of call, where somebody will come in and they will make an appointment and they will be listened to and believed. So that can be very often the very first step. Or it could be that, and you know, just taking the point there about the domestic abuse, we work with any woman wherever they are on their journey of domestic abuse. And that can go from right back to their childhood, where they may have been a witness to domestic abuse growing up. It could be they're in the middle of the, you know, they are in a current relationship and they know it's not healthy, but they may not be quite sure about it. Or it could be that they have left, you know, and they have done, and they're ready to look at it. They're ready to maybe go into a new relationship, but they're not sure what a healthy relationship looks. And it's all trauma-informed. It's all looking at the impact of trauma has had on their lives, right back from their childhood to where they are right now. Mm-hmm. So it is really about asking the question. You know, you don't have to divulge a lot of information when you ring. It's like, well, I'm not feeling okay. I'd like to talk to somebody. Yeah. You know, that's very often the first question.
I think it's so important to clarify that, because sometimes we can set up our own hurdles and people say, well, I'll do that when such and such happens, or I need to do this first. No, the whole idea is you can get support along the way. Search out the Donegal Women's Centre on social media and on the internet. You'll get more information. I will point out, by the way, that everything we've been talking about is provided through community support, businesses donating, local fundraising events, which you will hear about. And that's what lets these services happen. So any contributions that any of you might have in this area, you can go on to the donegalwomenscentre.ie. You know, I'm thinking if you're a business or a big company, what a fantastic organisation to be associated with, and what a message it would send, say, for instance, to your female employees. You know, it's win-wins all around. donegalwomenscentre.ie for more information. All right, Mary, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, and best of luck. I love the name, The Haven Building, because firstly, if we were doing word association and you said to me Haven, the next word back I would say to you is safe. That's how that would work. All right, listen, thanks for your time. Look after yourself. Keep up the great work, all of you, in what you're doing there, and never put yourself off seeking support because you don't think the time is right. There's never a right time, or there's always a right time. And check it out. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate that. Right. Did you know that the Northwest Breast Cancer Ball Committee is delighted to announce that this year's event is officially sold out? They're incredibly grateful for the overwhelming support from the community, and they're looking forward to welcoming all of the guests to the Silver Tassie Hotel tomorrow night. And it promises to be a wonderful evening in support of an important cause. And the committee is thrilled to see such strong backing once again this year. It's just one of those events, and it's one of the very few events that I haven't managed to get along to, but I hear fantastic things about it. So have a great night, by the way. If yous are going, you're all going to look fabulous, and you're going to have a great time. And, of course, there is a further announcement, and this is positive, right, regardless of what your political allegiances may or may not be. The Minister for Health, Jennifer Cara McNeill, is attending the ball. And that minister is a minister that needs to be a really good friend to the county and to the hospital. And so far, so good in terms of the investment that looks like it's coming toward Letterkenny University Hospital in terms of the new hub, right? That work is ongoing. And it was delivered by this minister, Jennifer Cara McNeill. So as I say, the better relationship we have with her, the better. So it's going to make it an extra special occasion. And of course, Shay Given, who was on this show a week or two ago, he's had this on his radar for quite some time. And I know from speaking to him, he's very keen to get along. So it's going to be a great night. Two fantastic guests, but I presume the most important guests are all of you guys who are going. Have a great night. I'm Jelly. Mike Bryan.
Have you got your tickets yet for the Highland Radio Christmas Concert? Tickets are selling fast. Join us on Tuesday the 9th of December in the Mount Errigal Hotel with Derek Ryan, Mike Denver, Jerry Guthrie, Keith and Ray McDonald, Des Willoughby and myself, David James. Tickets available now at highlandradio.com. Grab yours before they're gone.
Yeah, and get in on that as quickly as you can, by the way, because that's just around the corner and a great way to spend next Tuesday night. It really is Christmas in full swing now, isn't it? Which is great. And it's a tough time. Christmas is a tough time. I know I find it myself, but the positives for me outweigh the missing of people and things like that. So I get it. It's not for everyone. It can be really difficult, especially if you've lost someone this year, for an example. But thankfully, I'm in a space where I can really look forward to it, and I've lent into it, and I worked on that too, by the way. It didn't just happen. But anyway, what am I on about? The concert, it's on Tuesday night. Brilliant artist, as you just mentioned from David. Derek Ryan's going to be there. He's great. Mike Denver, Jerry Guthrie, Keith and Lorraine McDonald, Des Willoughby, and David James himself. Tickets are €30 for all of those acts. They're available right now from our website, highlandradio.com. You can contact the hotel reception as well, by the way, the Mount Errigal Hotel, 9125. No, that's us. Contact the Mount Errigal Hotel reception or contact us on 9125000. A lovely wee treat, by the way. If there's someone in your life that enjoys a bit of country music, what a great surprise it'd be for you to say, listen, I've got us two tickets for that concert Tuesday night. If they like country music or they like entertainment, I guarantee you, you're going to be quids in. The doors open at 7 and the show starts at 8 p.m. And you are invited not to miss the Highland Radio Christmas concert. And that's all in the beautiful surrounds at the Mount Errigal Hotel, which has, I have to say, I've no skin in the game. It's no benefit to me. It's lovely to see businesses invest, and they've done a brilliant job in reimagining the foyer and other elements of it. I was chatting to, we were down there doing the photo shoot for the new schedule, which starts on January 5th or 5th. It's just really well done. So fair play to Terry and the crew down there. And I would say that of any business, by the way, I've nothing to gain from it, nor have I ever from there. Right, let's see. Connell Shovlin is member of the Nairn Port New Rosbeg Community Co-op is with me now. Hi, Connell.
Hello, Greg.
Thanks for joining us. Right, now, housing is what we're going to talk about, and I'll just let you kick off the convo, especially as it relates to your local area, Connell.
Yeah, well, part of the reason for ringing you up is the Department of Rural and Community Affairs have opened for submissions now, to put in submissions for the next 5 years. And what I think is that there should be more joined up thinking between community voluntary organisations and government statutory agencies, because voluntary community groups are finding it more difficult to recruit younger people into them. And I think they need to be nurtured a lot, and because of the capacity to do a lot of very good work at a localised and community and parish level. Mm. And I'll give an example. I mean, a case study of the point, which I was very disappointed with myself, was, I mean, there's a barracks here, a disused barracks at Clougher. It's the accommodation section. There's a large two-story building and sitting on an acre, and an annex to the side is used for the barrack. But nobody has lived in it for the past 30 years in the accommodation section. It's a fine building. And I pursued it way back in 18 about with the OPW and to look and see could a leasing arrangement be given to our co-op, maybe to do something with it at that time.
Yeah.
It was a different time that we wanted to do maybe, you know, a community hub or something like that. But however, we met them there, personnel from the Gardaí and the OPW, we met them there on the 12th of September 2018. And they were agreeable that, you know, that the building has been unused and is falling into disrepair and is effectively closed for all practical purposes of Gardaí station. But if they wanted to keep the small annex beside the Gardaí, that's fine. But the accommodation section, what we were looking for. And I think... But after that, it just fell away. And
Connell, I set this up as a conversation about housing, but of course it's not. It's really about this.
It can be about housing as well, yeah.
Of course, but it's really this. The thrust of it is this state resource that you've got, the likes of yourself and others, are interested in bringing this into use for the community. We've got hubs all over the place. I presume that could be one idea for it, and lots of others as well to sort of reinvigorate. Is that the vision?
Yeah, well, even for instance, I mean, that's 7 years ago, even if it wasn't a community hub. I mean, if the department, if the state agencies, I mean, there's huge talk about derelict buildings and everything, and that's understandable, but derelict buildings is in the possession of the state, like, you know, I think they have to come first. And that's a big thing for a community like ours, like, where in 1993 there was 142 children at the national school, and now there's 62. And I mean, if say, the OPW or whoever wants to put in 2-3-bed apartments into that building and fix it up and make it accommodation for two families, that's fine. No problem with it. But the problem I have is watching them sort of resources going to waste, you know?
Yeah. Is the building being maintained, over the intervening 7 years, Conal? Are the OPW maintaining this building? I know it's at least partly used to some extent, but is it falling into disrepair? I just can't picture the building in my head.
It's in disrepair, and the accommodation section is in disrepair inside, but the external part of it is well maintained, and is a small annex that the guard, the barrack, was in as an independent door going into it. That's maintained. But, like, it's a fine building sitting in an acre. And in our area, it's difficult because it's a big holiday home area, and it's difficult for young families to get planning permission to build a home. And, you know, if we don't have more children coming to the school than that, I mean, we are looking at a project there now to build 12 houses beside the Dolman Centre there, beside the community centre there. And, you know, we're making good progress in that. But the point I want to make is that inviting submissions now for the next 5 years from the Department of Rural and Community Affairs. I mean, it's 7 years since we met the OPW on that site. And, I mean, it's not that I want... I mean, if the OPW feel or the state feel doing something with themselves, that's fine. But it's just a pity of seeing it going to waste, you know?
Yeah, especially when there's a local will to do something with it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's vacant now. There's nobody lived in that building for over 30 years. And there's really no... The OPW and the guard, they said themselves, there'll be nobody living in the future, you know? That's, you know, because it's going to disappear. But my proposal to them was, look, if you can lease it to us maybe for 7 or 8 years to see how we get on, and we get some funding maybe to do it up from different programs. And then if we have failed in what we, the objective of what maybe we all aspire to at that time, that's fine. It goes back to you, you know, and that's fine. But it's just a pity of seeing it go to waste when there is such a shortage maybe of, you know, of ideas in a community to try to have more young people living in the area and working in the area, or even if you're making two apartments out of it for young people as a temporary accommodation.
It's funny, the enrolment in the local
school and all these things are important.
Yeah, the enrolment in the local schools is a real indicator of where things are going, isn't it? Because that's the next generation, or maybe even their parents. Where have they gone, and where are they having their children now? Or okay, Conal, listen, thanks for that. It'll be interesting. We might chase that up, Conal, see if anything comes from it. I appreciate it. Conal Shovlin there. If you're in that area, let me know what you think. On the issue of sterling, I used to shop in a large British store in Donegal, which always had its prices displayed in the shopping sterling. And every time you got to the till, the cost was nearly always €2 more. I think I might know the shop you're talking of. The last time I was in there, they do list the sterling price and the euro price, but the euro price is greater than the euro price is much greater often than the exchange rate. But at least they're being displayed. I think if we're all about the same shop, I know where you're talking from. Greg, you heard of the saying, live horse and you'll get grass. No, never heard of that at all. Live horse and you'll get grass. Well, that's what comes to mind when I heard the Strabane councillor, who's a Derry councillor, talking about the redevelopment plans for Strabane. The critical point he made was that there is no timeline for this work to begin, but we hope, etc. The same type of plan was rolled out for Lifford over 20 years ago. The usual crap about parks and street furniture and new street lighting, etc. It never happened and is no nearer now than when it was first mooted. You should timestamp this news and see if it ever comes to fruition. Chances are you'll be long retired and catching mackerel in Donegal Bay. Sounds like a fantastic way to live your life out, by the way. I would love a bigger boat to do that. Not mackerel, obviously. Save them for the fishermen. Winky wink. Not that I... And I'll tell you one thing. I'm no threat to stocks. I can tell you that for a fact. Right, let me see. I live in Donegal Town. and I needed a form signed by the Gardaí. I called in three times and even rang them, but they wouldn't open the Garda station. We were told all the time that the Gardaí are there when you need them, but this isn't the case. We had to go to Ballyshannon Garda station to get the form signed. My granddaughter was followed home one day and reported it to Gardaí. They didn't want to hear from her at all. They did nothing, which is really unfortunate. I would definitely chase that up. You know, sometimes we have to say, right, I'm going to follow up here and I'm going to scream. Well, not scream. I'm going to kick up a stink till something's done about it. I went into Donegal Town and got a passport form signed, thinking it was, I don't know, I should know. I work in this area. I should know better. But it wasn't open then when the passport office closed and they ring three or four times. I don't know what it is. And then that old process went by the wayside, and then I kind of lost interest in it, but lost the will in it. You know, and I thought, well, Donegal Town's a big station. Surely there'll be someone there to answer the phone, but no, that wasn't the case. Rhiannon Enoch Burke, a court order has to have a legal substance, and standing behind it in order to jail someone for a long period of time or indefinitely, or else judges could run amok with their court orders while they're doing, in the case of Enoch Burke, and are now even threatening his family. Again, and it's worth digging into this, his family are facing potential issues in relation to their behaviour in the courts, which is connected, of course, but it's not really connected as such, because if he wasn't there, they wouldn't have been there. So that's where the connection is, but still they're responsible for their own actions, and it's a separate line of inquiry. Okay, thanks for that. What we really need is to bring back our own DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, like the system in the council and at government level OPW. The waste is disgraceful and costing all the local businesses. We had a lady in charge some years ago. She was very successful. DOGE has been scrapped in America and has cost the state's billions. And now they're also having to rehire the workers that DOGE got rid of. I know you're not talking about the exact concept, but sometimes you go in there looking to make savings and it turns out things were running reasonably efficient to begin with. Coming up in 15 minutes, by the way, John Bresson is broadcasting live from Michael Murphy's Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. This for the launch of the new design of the Donegal Senior Football and Hurling Team's home jersey for the 2026 season. I imagine that jersey will be on a lot of lists this Christmas, so tune in to John and the team. David James is also out and about. I'll get some information on that for you down the line. Hi, Greg. Got a call from this number today. Potential fraud. You know yourself, it most likely is. I've been getting calls from these types of numbers for quite some time. Hi, Greg. Not sure if this has been raised before, but we've been informed by our pharmacy that from January 2026, there'll be a €20 charge per month for packs, as the government no longer will cover the cost. My mother is 91 and lives alone and cannot see well enough to fix out her many tablets or have the dexterity. €20 by 12, €240, almost 1 week's pension. It's ridiculous. Sorry, they're called blister packs. Okay, right, so you'll have to pay for blister packs. This is something I'm not familiar with, and I'm not sure it's this one pharmacy or if it's across the board, but €240 for blister packs. If anyone can give me more information, or if that texter can just explain a little bit more of their use and benefit, and we can chase that up as well too. But we also have some great friends in the pharmacy sector who might be listening that might be able to give us a buzz, or we'll contact them and sort of find out what the situation is, because it's not insignificant. Right, Ryan Brawley from the newsroom joins us now. He is at the budget meeting, the County Council's budget meeting. Ryan, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Right, okay, so what's happening at the moment? Are they in meeting? Is it adjourned? What's going on?
Yes, well, the reconvened budget meeting was set to begin at 10 o'clock this morning, but a proposal for an adjournment was called almost straight away until 12 midday. This is due to a number of items still needing clarity and discussion with council management from the previous meeting on November 21st, which failed to pass the budget, mainly over a proposal of a 5% increase to commercial rates in the county. After this proposal of an adjournment, there was some disagreement from councillors within the chamber, saying these discussions should have been taking place since the last meeting, but Fianna Fáil councillors favoured the adjournment. Since then, meetings have been taking place with the county management as we await updates at this point, but some councillors are saying it could be a long wait today.
Is this going to eventually get over the line? Are you getting any sense as to whether or not the budget will be passed today, Ryan? Because there is a midnight deadline looming.
I think there is an idea that will be passed today, but the discussions over that 5% increase in commercial rates could be the sticking point that makes it last a long time.
Is there any indication that there's any movement from the executive on that 5%? I know a lot of these conversations are happening behind closed doors.
The sense is that the executive would like the budget to pass as is. However, with the councillors really sticking on the point, they may have to relent somewhat.
All right, we shall see. Ryan, thank you for that. Ryan Brawley there covering that for us from the newsroom. Tune in to our bulletins, the main lunchtime news at 1 and throughout the course of the day, because that meeting should resume at noon. It's going to be a tough one. Will we have the names of those that voted for and against that 5% increase if that ends up being, or could it be reduced to, say, 2.5% or 3%, or maybe factored in, you know, 2, 2, and 1 over 3 years, something along those lines. We shall see. There's a lot of them up there. I'm sure they can come up with some sort of an agreement. Right, our Thursday finalist for tomorrow's draw for the Cadbury Secret Santa €500 value one for all vouchers is Bridie. Bridie is from Carnegore in Carrigart, and they're nominating Clodagh Doherty from Devon. I know this off the top of my head, Devlin Rhea Carrigart, for your selection. She's waiting on an appointment for Crumlin Hospital for double surgery for scoliosis, which is deteriorating at a very fast pace. She's 13 years old and will be in theatre for 12 hours, and another very worthy potential recipient. So Bridie and Clodagh, they go into the hat, and they have a 1 in 5 chance win of winning that prize tomorrow. So we'll have your final chance to enter tomorrow. Thank you for that, and keeping everyone in our thoughts. Hi, Greg. It would fit our government better if they had sorted the people in Donegal with their homes falling down around them at 40, 57,000 euro more of their own pocket money, of their own money to get the homes built again instead of sending millions to Ukraine again. Right? I went through this a little earlier on. Let me see if I can get the figures out here for you again. It's not about where the money's going, right? Last month in tax, mostly down, this is tax that wasn't accounted for, we took in 10 billion euro. 10 billion euro. That 10 billion euro in 1 month, 28 days, 31 days, whichever you call a month, right? That 10 billion would have fixed to the maximum budget 28,000 defective concrete block homes, 1 month's tax take, right? So people can say we're sending 150 million euro to Ukraine. And to be honest, I think really the debate is, you know, as a neutral country, where's that money going, what it's being used for, you know, it's being spent on behalf of the public. But I'll tell you, if you've got 10 billion euro taken in 1 month in tax, 150 million for the Ukrainian government is pittance. 28,000 defective block houses. It would build the 10T project in Donegal 10 times over, 10 bridges over the Swilly, 10 roads to the border, 10 bypasses of Ballybofey, 1 month's tax take. It would hire for a year 222,000 nurses. We talk about the shortage of clinical psychologists and CAMHS. It would employ 100,000 clinical psychologists for a year. It would build four over one children's hospitals, and it would give every child living in poverty in this country right now, and this is the tax take for a month, it would give every child in poverty in this country right now 44,500 euro. And you know what? We can't afford the cost of living package. Well, 1 month's tax take would do 5 annual cost of living packages. So I get where you're coming from about the 150 million being sent to Ukraine, the 100 million, whatever it might be. But look what 1 month's tax would spend on. And it was a tiny little article, 2 inches long in the Sun. No one seems to be bothered. But am I bothered by it? It just beggars belief, to be honest with you. I don't know what sources you're reading, but Putin doesn't have all the cards. Three-day operation is now 3 years. They've made less than 1% progress since the initial push. Several regions in Russia are collapsing. Over 1 million Russians dead, recruitment crisis, gold reserves getting sold off. What's wrong is Putin can't afford to end the war anymore. He's overinvested into a wartime economy, and the whole nation will collapse once the war ends. This is Afghanistan all over again. You may well be right. I just don't want to have a... I personally wouldn't want to have a staring competition with Putin. That's all I'm saying, because people think in different ways. Okie doke, listen, thank you very much for listening to today's show. I really, really appreciate it. It's great to have you on board, and it's very much appreciated. Thanks for watching if you chose to watch the show as well. We're back with you tomorrow morning live from Clonmany for By Donegal. Look forward to seeing you then.